This show is a proud member of the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network. Get more at nerdylegion.com. Enjoy the show.
This is Brightside Home Theater.
Hey, home theater nerds. It's week 42 of 2020, and welcome to the Brightside Home Theater Podcast, the podcast about the fun we have in our theater. Short week this week. I'm recording early, so I don't have as much in my notes, but I've got a lot going on. But let's get to quick pleasantries out of the way. My name's DJ. You can reach us on Twitter at BrightsideHT, or you can email us at the BrightsideHomeTheater@gmail.com. And of course, you can always talk to us directly by leaving comments on the website, BrightsideHomeTheater.com. And just like last week, I'm going to push you guys to go to the featured theaters, leave a comment. A lot of comments last week regarding the Star Wars theater. We had Sweet, my first OLET, comes this week, and I'm stoked. Love the kitty cat. That's McKaylin Tuttle. Paul Stewart said, I love this theater. The Star Wars art and figures are amazing. M.R. Risney's, I guess. I don't know. Awesome setup. Love the layout and the art. Great stuff. Andrew himself, about his own theater, followed up with a few comments, said the red pillows were all him. His wife actually hates pillows. Comics aren't anything that he's owned. He just loved the art. I should have commented that his cat's name is Bodhi Rook from Rogue One. I didn't know it was spelled that way. That's funny. He also thanked everybody for the comments. Manuel Torres, very nice. I like the pictures. W, great theater, and love the Star Wars theme also. And Steve George with looks good. A really cool Star Wars themed room. I think that's a typo. I think he meant Star Wars, but most people I would correct that. But Steve, I got a bust on him. So yeah, keep those comments coming. That was great. Everybody, these guys love and ladies love these theaters, love their theaters. Please leave comments. We have a pretty cool one this week. I was very excited to get this one. Probably already seen it on the website, but I'll have my comments when we get to that. This week in my theater, I've been working on a project. There's going to be more on that in the coming weeks. Let's just say that if I start down the rabbit hole now, that'll pretty much take over the show. But I'm very excited. For those of you that have been helping me with this project, you know what rabbit hole means. You know what rabbit hole I'm going down. And I don't know if this is a rabbit hole or a gopher hole or what, because once I've gone down, there's tangents galore down here. And I'm having a lot of fun, and I'll have a report for you guys later. I'm going to make a whole podcast out of it, but it's been a lot of fun. And like I said, I could keep going on about that, but let's move on. Another thing this week, I did watch, as we know, we're doing Sleepy Hollow today. Trick or Treat came in second by one vote. My wife and I sat down and watched Trick or Treat as well. And what I would like to say, to give it a little bit of love here, we did enjoy it. It is a fun, this is the one from 2007 we watched. It was sent to me from Mark V on Twitter, and he's protected, so I won't give out any of that stuff, but he sent it to me, and we did enjoy it. It is a fun, funny horror movie, definitely fun Halloween time type movie. We'll be watching it again next year. The one comment I'd like to give it a little love, give you a timestamp for it. If you happen to own this movie, or you can find it rented or something like that, at the 1 hour, 2 minute and 30 second mark, Spike the dog, okay, you'll understand when you see the scene if you haven't seen it, runs around upstairs, and it sounded really, really cool. I have a little dog about the size of Spike from the movie, and when my dog runs around upstairs, I can hear his feet pitter-pattering and his claws on the hardwood above me. And this one was actually a little clearer because I do have a little bit of sound dampening between me and my next floor. So it was actually better and more clear, but, or clearer, But it really sounded like my dog was running around upstairs. It was a really cool effect, and he ran around the room. So, like, as you're looking up above your theater, it was over your head and running around. It was pretty cool, and this isn't an Atmos or anything, so that was a pretty cool effect. The other thing I've done this week, Back to the Future came out on Tuesday, which is literally today. So, came out, and I've delved into that, and the opening scene, we're going to be delving into this movie anyways, especially the first one, but the opening, the clocks all around the room in Dolby Atmos sounded fantastic. Just pop that in, and you'll have a hard time popping it back out of the tray once you start down the road on this movie. It is so much fun, especially if you grew up in the 80s. Really good track. Not the best in the world. There are some flaws. I'll get to that when we break down the movie itself. But that opening scene with all the clocks around the room, it is a lot of fun. New Twitter followers this week. Short week, like I said, only have a couple. We have WV Brew and No You Don't. Those are the names. So thank you. Welcome to the community. Welcome to Brightside Home Theater. Hope you're having a good time. Don't forget to push play. This week's movie recommendations comes from WV Brew on Twitter. Event Horizon. Quote, Event Horizon dropped on 4K streaming. Watched it. Really good transfer. Very clean. Sharp. That was in the running for this year. I was kind of excited to see that, but we had so many other opinions coming in, and they all kind of steered towards the four that we went with. And so, again, maybe we'll do that another time. Not maybe, most definitely. Twitter and email comments this week. And we'll start with plenty of comments regarding Dr. Sleep's email last week when I announced the podcast, and Steve George jumped in. Can I ask DJ, not having seen this, do you have to have recently seen The Shining to make sense of it? I said, no, it's all explained. I feel like you don't even have to have seen The Shining. You would get the gist of it. But at the end of the day, if you've seen it, even if you've just seen it years and years ago, there's, you know, some extra treats in there for you as you're going through. Things would come back in your memory. So he said he's toying with picking up both in 4K later on in the week. I believe he did. He tweeted out that he picked those up along with Back to the Future as well, I believe. HD Movie Source says, I'm a big fan of this movie. I love the picture quality on it. I think it looks great. I won't lie. I'm a big fan of Rebecca Ferguson. Good release on 4K. And yeah, I really enjoyed her in this as well. Like I said, and I replied saying she would make a great Zatanna, like I told my buddy last week on my other podcast, Brightside Chat. Pancho Montaquila, sorry if I mispronounced that, at Padhole69. His tweet had a little bit of a spoiler to it, so I'll edit that a little bit, but he said, I tried so hard to like this movie. Apart from the genuine shock when something happened, it just disappointed him to no end. Great atmosphere to it, though, and yes, Rebecca Ferguson was suitably sinister. And yeah, she was. She played such a great role. But I do like that he said great atmosphere to it, though, because while it wasn't his cup of tea, he could understand that it had a nice atmosphere to it, and it really did. And that's what I mean by home theater movie. When I break these down, I'm breaking them down for the experience in your home theater and how does that atmosphere come across and everything. And sometimes the movie doesn't hold up as well as maybe the home theater experience does. That's for another podcast or something. You know, you want to break the movie down, and I have movies that I love. We've been over that before, but great comment though. OD Photography says, in reply to Steve about if you have to have seen it before, says, Steve, I think it'll blow your mind. If I remember correctly, at the 14-minute mark, the voice that comes out of the right surround speaker almost made me become Spider-Man and climb my wall. When I got that one, I actually looked at my notes. I don't have that one in there, so that's pretty cool, too. I don't get them all. These are the ones that jump out to me. And that actually made me raise a question in my head. Like, we all are mixing our sound differently. So some people, they'll have, maybe they bump their rear channels a little stronger. Some people might be mixing it differently. Who knows? Their rooms are different. Who knows what's popping out? So yeah, if you want leave notes in the comments on if a scene I missed that really stood out to you on any of these movies. And it'll give us an opportunity, myself especially, to go back and see what did you hear that maybe I didn't comment in the podcast. That's kind of fun. Makes it more interactive. Then John Tooth at PenkJT tweeted at BrightsideHT, "Hey DJ, look what just arrived. Guess what I'm doing for the next few hours?" And he sent a picture of his back copy of Back to the Future trilogy, the Ultimate Trilogy. Said hashtag BTTF, hashtag BTTF 2020, hashtag BTTF 4K. Yeah, Back to the Future. It is a fun thing to get these movies from the 80s and see them restored like this in 4K and with the upgraded sound. And it's so much fun that you can't stop once you start, as I said earlier. And I'm sure John had a blast with it as well. He even commented 10 minutes in, "The Atmos soundtrack is amazing." And Reginald Boyd commented saying, "My copy arriving Thursday." And mine was supposed to arrive Thursday, but showed up earlier today. So I'm wondering if maybe Reginald was lucky enough to get his as well, because I ordered mine through Amazon. I pre-ordered it a while ago. They always give you that it's coming later, but then it shows up on day and date that it was released, at least here in the States. It came out today, Tuesday. Then Reginald also commented saying, "I love these movies, even though I was in Europe fighting the Cold War at this time." And wow, I have great memories of these movies. Hopefully, Reginald, you do as well. Thank you for your service. That's really, hopefully this brings back good memories of back then. But that is the fun of these movies. It's the fun of our theaters. Take us back to a time when, you know, we can feel nostalgic for the 80s. And hopefully, Reginald, it's, you know, it is fun for you. And I, you know, that kind of hit me kind of hard, fighting the Cold War at this time. Yeah, I remember the 80s. I remember what the Cold War was like. I was in high school at the time, so it didn't impact me as clearly as much as it impacted you. But hey, thanks again for your service. Oh, and Reginald then later, here are my notes. Reginald thanked me for reviewing his, or showing off his theater, as he says. "Thanks for showing off my theater, DJ. My pleasure, to you and to everybody that submitted a theater. It's a pleasure to do so. So you don't need to thank me. I appreciate everything." As a matter of fact, Andrew from last week's theater thanked me in a way I said, you don't have to do this. He has sent models to AV Rant. He's doing, you know, thanking them for doing their podcast. And after my podcast came out and he heard it, he DM'd me and he said, "Send me your address and I want to send you this." And if you go to the first two pictures of last week's podcast and you look on top of the speaker on the right, you'll see an Iron Man, and it's the original Iron Man costume, that kind of style. And you'll see that Iron Man statue sitting on top of the speaker. And he said, "I would like to send this to you. Thank you for featuring my theater." And you guys are giving me content. You're helping me to produce this podcast. I really appreciate you. Don't have to do that, but thank you very much, Andrew. I look forward to it. I will display it proudly in my theater. As you know, I am a big comic fan. I have an Iron Man helmet. I have another Iron Man statue that my buddy John gave me for my birthday a couple years ago. It's the Iron Man from Endgame. So this one will go nicely on the other end of the shelf at the back of the room. But thank you very much. You guys don't have to do that, but it is much appreciated. So moving on, we have an email from Gurinder. He says, "Hi, DJ. Was just listening to your podcast on Guardians of the Galaxy. I may have missed emails regarding this in subsequent podcasts, but did you try using two disc players and have the audio from the 4K go to the receiver and the video from the 3D go to the projector? I'm not sure if there are any different scenes or times in there. It might be a bit to try and sync them up, but then you could have 3D and Dolby Atmos. LOL." So I'll comment on that before I read the rest of the email. I have thought of that, but I figured the logistics are just so crazy that the entire time I'd be sitting there, are the lip syncs, is it right? Is it wrong? Is it really worth it? Because I get to enjoy both. maybe someday we could do something like that. I actually did, and I did reply to him. I emailed him back. I said, I actually did hear of something where you could do that and it'll sync up a little easier, but I forgot to write. I can't remember where I heard it or read it, but there is a way to do that. I got to look into that a little bit more, but I have heard of people trying to do that. He goes on in his email, he says, I had an idea for the podcast. Maybe as part of the home theater tours or just general messages, people could say an interesting automation or universal remote things people have set up. For instance, dimming the lights when you press play and having them turn on slightly when pausing or stopping. I remember hearing in your podcast about having different color. Yes, it's spelled with a U up here. Yeah, he spelled it color. That's how we say it when it's spelled that way down here. I'm assuming he's in Canada with up there. Either that or he's on the moon, which is really cool because I don't have a listener on the moon yet. Anyways, about having different color lighting depending on what you're playing, such as green for Xbox. And yeah, I had said I have green for Xbox when you hit when you choose that input. I have blue for PlayStation. I have different settings around the room for different inputs. And I actually, at the bottom of my Harmony, I actually have, I have the Harmony Elite, and there's some buttons down there that you can program to do different things with the Hue lighting. And so, like, my bottom right looks like a little plug. If you hit that, only the little two lights come on, similar to a movie theater with just dimmed lights. So when I hit pause, I actually have to hit that. But yes, this is a good idea, and I mean, Gurinder, you brought it up, so I'm putting it out there to listeners. You know, let us know, what do you do? Are there macros that you've set up on your Harmony or on whatever remote system you're using? Because if there's a remote system that's better than my Harmony, I might explore that if I can hit a button. I had that years ago. I want to say it was a Philips, and that was probably 15 years ago, where I hit one button, everything happened, lights dim, this, that, the other thing. The Harmony, the macros are a little bit more difficult to set up because it is so easy to use. It's a little harder for me to figure that out, whereas the one I had before was harder to use but easier to set up the macros, if that makes sense. But then he just ends the email with, have a good one, enjoy the subs working again. I had an amp die on me as well, and SVS was great. So thanks, Gurinder. That was great. Great suggestions there. Great ideas. Keep those ideas coming. John M. emailed, I am so pumped. Gravity is in Dolby Atmos on Apple TV. It upgraded my digital copy. The only way you could get Gravity in Atmos before was the ridiculously priced Diamond Lux Edition, and to my knowledge, still not out on 4K disc. And I believe that's true. I didn't look before I started recording if it is out on 4K. The only way up until now was to get it on the Diamond Lux Edition, which I own. And there'll be more on that coming soon, very soon. So pay attention to your local podcasts on, I will be talking about Gravity very soon. There's a little sneak peek for those of you that are listening to multiple home theater podcasts. That's it for comments. That brings us to this week's featured theater. And we have another Andrew Joyner. And Andrew wrote in, he has a TV Vizio D60NE3. His AVR is a Marantz NR1504. He has a 3.1 setup. For his left, center, and right, he has Andrew Jones Pioneer Towers SPFS52 for front left and right, and his center is an Andrew Jones Pioneer SPC22. His subwoofer is an older Yamaha. I don't know much about it, but it works great for me now. I also have two Andrew Jones Pioneer SPBS22 for rears, but they are not currently hooked up. For my digital and my physical content, I use an Amazon Fire TV box first gen and an Xbox One S that I play my Blu-ray discs, almost 300 of my favorites. I do a little gaming as well as run the TV apps since my Vizio TV is not a smart TV. Hope you are having a great day. I'm currently listening to your Lucy 4K episode while waiting for my students to show up. Thanks again. And if you go to the website, you'll see the picture that he submitted. And it's just a single picture. It's his setup as it is today. He is between homes. I asked him, he told me about this. I said, send me a picture. I would love to feature this because this is the point. This is what I really enjoy. I want to get a nice contrast of theaters. We have some nice, obviously dedicated rooms, dedicated theaters. We also have some living rooms that are set up in full 5.1, 7.1, some of them with Atmos in the living room. But here we have, he's in between homes. He's listening to the podcast to, so that he can experience these movies vicariously through us. But he has a nice 3.1 system. You can see all of his, not probably all of his movies, but a bunch of his movies are displayed there. Watching Dallas Cowboys and the Seattle Seahawks. This is a cool picture that the majority of the population would envy. Between those speakers, the setup, it probably sounds fantastic. It looks fantastic. The nice screen. I should say nice size screen. It's got a Marantz, Andrew Jones speakers. It's got to sound fantastic. The majority of the population would be blown away by this. But then I think what's going to be great about this is as when he gets into his new home and he gets a dedicated room or a living room that he can build around, we're going to add to it. And then you're going to see where he started and what he ended up with. I wish I had done something like this with my theater back when I lived in an apartment. What did it look like then? What did it look like if you could have seen my theater? I know a lot of you have been asking about my theater and I wanted to focus on everybody else's. But if you could have seen my theater when I first built it and the screen, it was a 65-inch TV and this and that, and how things evolve in your theater. And this is a great, great starting point. Obviously, it's not even a starting point. You're way ahead of the game here. But it's going to be fun to watch this theater evolve. So thank you, Andrew. Thank you for allowing me to bring this to everybody and let everybody see, all right, hey, this is what I have. And let's get those out there. If you want your theater featured, just email me. It, like I said, just like this, it could be a single picture and just describe what you have and we'll grow from there. Just email me at brightsidehometheater@gmail.com and we're off and running. I actually only have one left. Actually, I have 1 week left. So if I don't get more, well, I just won't do a featured theater anymore for until I get another one, but I'll keep asking for them. So send those in. Really appreciate it. And, that brings us to this week's featured movie, Sleepy Hollow, and it won by one vote. And I have the tabulation right here. Out of 53 total votes between Twitter, I put it out on Twitter with the last 24 hours, and the website, it came down to 8 votes for Jane Doe, 12 votes for 300, 16 votes for Trick or Treat, and 17 votes for Sleepy Hollow. So close. And Sleepy Hollow is going to be a face-off. More on that on the other side of the trailer. But we're going to compare the latest edition, the special 20th anniversary edition, versus the 2006 edition. So let's play this trailer and break down Sleepy Hollow.
I am Constable Ichabod Crane, sent from New York to investigate murder in Sleepy Hollow.
How much have your superiors explained to you?
Only that the three were slain in open ground, their heads severed from their bodies.
Taken by the headless horseman, taken back to hell.
He rode a giant black steed. To look at him made your blood run cold. Even today, the Western Woods is a haunted place where brave men will not venture.
We have murders in New York without benefit of ghouls and goblins.
You're a long way from New York, Constable.
Is everyone in this village enthralled to superstition?
We have many things to talk about, even in this backward place.
Excuse my manner. I'm not used to.
Female company?
Murder! The horseman's killed again!
The assassin is a man of flesh and blood, and I will discover him.
Are you so certain of everything?
Perhaps there's a bit of a witch in you, Katrina.
Why do you say that?
Because you've bewitched me.
All right, here we go with Sleepy Hollow from 1999 and Johnny Depp, Christina Ricci, Christopher Lee, and Ian McDiarmid all teaming up. 99, this is right when Star Wars came out. Well, Phantom Menace. Well, Christopher Lee didn't show up until Attack of the Clones, but Ian McDiarmid, and then you have Christopher Lee and Lord of the Rings and all that, but they weren't really, nobody ever points to Sleepy Hollow for those two. And to be honest with you, I'd even forgot about Ian McDiarmid showing up in this. When I first sat down to watch this with my wife, I was like, do you know who that is? And then she's like, no. And I was like, that's the Emperor. That's Palpatine. She's like, why would I know that? But I was very excited to watch this, very excited to do my comparison between the 2006 version, which I have owned since 2006, and I bought the new 2019 20-year anniversary edition, and I'm so happy to tell you, just kidding, I can't even play it up, they're identical discs. It's ridiculous. Just identical discs with new packaging. I mean, literally the exact same disc. If you look at the two of them, it's not even a new printing on the disc. It's, you know, the art on the disc itself is identical. The menu's identical. They scroll up very slowly, identically. It's like, it's very archaic. The disc itself is old. The picture, old, very old. I get it. It's part of the art style, similar to, I feel like it could be similar to 300, although 300 has a ton of grain on purpose. We'll get into that when we do 300, but this one here has way too much grain, and it's not I don't think it's part of the art in this cut. I think it could be if they did a nice restoration of it, but I feel like there's too much noise here. It's way all over the place, like ridiculous. Like some scenes, and we'll get into them, some scenes have tons of noise, other scenes are a little bit more subdued with the noise and the grain, so it looks a little nicer. Some of these scenes are literally unwatchable. There were times when I was watching this that I was like, I've seen better outtake clips, you know, like, you know, when you'll get into special features and stuff and they show you scenes they didn't put in the movie and they're completely unproduced. I've seen better clips there than there were in this, at times in this movie. The blacks were way crushed big time. Like a restoration of this could be so nice because the saturation is way down. It's dialed way back. It's almost monochromatic at times, which is nice. I like that, especially in a Tim Burton movie. That's textbook for him. They've done Batman from 89. This is only 10 years after Batman. And Batman looks pretty good. So I think this movie has a ton of potential. Because like I said, the saturation's way down. There's very, very high contrast. And even with the high contrast, you could still get some really nice detail in the shadows and in the blacks, all the dark scenes. It doesn't have to be crushed so bad unless they, you know, they have nothing. The master material they have is crushed. I don't know. Like I said, saturation is way down, but the reds, they bloom nicely, let's just say, and we'll get into some of those scenes. And I like when they do that. I like it's an artistic choice and it works. I think it especially works in this movie. This movie plays almost like a play. Like each scene, it's given to you like it was a play. Not only is it shot in high contrast, which HDR would be great, but I think the acting is in high contrast. Like watch and listen to how they all act. And it's very much like if they were on a stage and they're overacting on purpose to get their message across to an audience that you would do, you know, that's how you would act on a stage. There's very little subtle stuff in this movie. And I like I said, there's so much that they could have done and could do with a restoration. I enjoy the movie. My wife was like, oh, okay, that was nice, because it is from 99. So it is 20 years old, 21 now. But let's get to the sound. This movie is given to you in Dolby Digital and DTS. That's it. Dolby Digital and DTS. No, it's the lossy version. Not very good. It defaults to Dolby Digital. I chose the DTS and then mixed it up to the Neural X. So my room was filled with sound. And when the first time I watched this movie, I reviewed it and watched it at reference level. When I went back and reviewed each scene that I made note of, I bumped it to plus 5 dB. And I will tell you that if you're going to watch this movie, definitely do at least plus 5. It is much more dynamic, much more engaging. I'll use Ragnarok, for example. That movie there, that is a bad audio track on the disc, because even when you bump it up, it doesn't change the dynamic range. So you're the difference between your highs and your lows. Whereas I felt with Sleepy Hollow here, you actually exposed the lower bass. So if you listen at just reference level, the bass wasn't coming through. You go up just the 5 dB and you can get that lower end bass, but the highs are still there. Obviously, you're just turning them up. But there, in Ragnarok, I felt like you turned it up, you never exposed any real deep bass. This one, there was some, and I felt it in my seat, whereas at regular reference level, I didn't feel anything in my seat. I didn't feel any big punches. And I'm not saying that this is a reference movie at plus 5 dB by no stretch of the imagination, but it is more engaging at a plus 5. So that's where I would recommend it being listened to at. The dialogue I thought was really good. Notice I stumble along the dialogue. The dialogue is really good, very clear throughout this movie, but that plays to, like I said, it's like they're almost like overacting each scene. So if the dialogue was muddy, that kind of wouldn't play to the way they're presenting this movie to you like a play. But all in all, I gotta say, I enjoyed the movie and it demands a restoration. I would really like, I would be very excited if this came out with a 4K HDR restoration, because there's so much detail. There's so much more to this movie that you could enjoy, that you could see, that you could hear, that you could feel. It just isn't there, and it's still entertaining as it is, but the picture is just, it's tough. It is really tough. So this is the bright side, so let's not bash too much. The popcorn is popping. Let's get into it. Let's start getting into some spoilers here on a 21-year-old movie. Let's go right to it with the opening scene. There's some bass rumbles in the opening score. Nothing too great, but I could feel it a little bit. And let me just say, starting off right now, all of this, all of my notes here, everything I'm about to say was all done at plus 5 dB. Okay, so when I watched it the first time in reference level, I didn't feel a lot of this stuff. So everything going forward from here is, think of it as plus 5 dB, and hopefully you'd be able to recognize it where I've got two subs running, and, you know, that's where I'm starting from. All right, back to the opening. Nice bass rumbles, opening score. Tons and tons of grain and very high contrast in the picture tells you right off the bat, and inconsistent grain as well, which lends me to believe that this is not, it's not meant this way. Maybe some high grain throughout the movie is okay. If it's consistent, then you know it's an artistic choice, but where it's just noise, it's just bad, and you'll see it right off the bat. The highlights and the lanterns on the carriage as the carriage comes through, that would look so cool in HDR because they would be a little bit, I think, oranger or yellower with the blue kind of backdrop as they blue tinted backdrop as the lanterns come through on the carriage. They would really pop out. I thought of that right away looking at that. When we get to the part in the opening where they slice off the driver's head, you first hear a sword slice kind of. I think that one was on the left side. But when the head actually, the final slice that takes the head off, there's only two slices, it feels like it's a little bit more on the right side. So that was kind of cool. I was looking for some pans and stuff right at from the jump. So I got a little bit of that. It's not super strong, but you can hear it. And then when the character that's in the carriage and he pops his head outside, there's some nice bass from the horse's hooves as his head goes outside, and now you can hear the horses more clearly. So it was all in all a decent opening for a 21-year-old movie. Not too bad, not too bad. Jumping to 4 minutes and 20 seconds. Poor green screen effect here. You basically have Johnny Depp standing there, and you could totally tell, or at least I felt like that was a green screen behind him. You'll see it's like a factor. I can't remember exactly where he was, but it just didn't look right. Really bad here. And that's all I'll say about green screens in this. Jump to 7 minutes and 22 seconds, the countryside. This is the opening credit scene, so we're back to now we're going to get all the opening credits where they kind of fade out, which will look fantastic in it with a restoration. They really could fade that out, give it a 3D look. But I labeled this the countryside because there's some nice scenes of the countryside here that are just muddied by the picture, by the noise and the grain, that these would look so nice with a being restored in 4K and given that the HDR, you give you real nice sense of depth here because there's so much depth of field here because you're looking, one of the scenes I believe is you're looking over a field. Really, really nice, or could be really, really nice, I should say. Then at 9 minutes and 40 seconds, howling. There's a howling wolf that is pretty cool, but also as Johnny Depp's carriage pans from the center to the right side, it's not a great pan here, but you can hear it. It is there. And there's also some nice rumbling bass as Depp approaches Sleepy Hollow. But you can also hear that howling wolf too. I thought that's what actually made me focus on that scene, because it was front heavy, but filled the room a little bit. Then at 11 minutes and 50 seconds, walking in. So Johnny Depp's approaching the building, there's a party going on inside, and he knocks on the door, and as the doors creak open, your room is filled with the score of the movie, of what's going on in there, but you can also hear the people inside, so your whole room is filling with sound. Very front heavy because, well, the party is in front of you, so it plays well here, but I did find that most of this movie and the sound was very front heavy, and the rest of the room was for the score, which is tremendous. And there are some scenes coming up where things do move around a little bit, but very few, but it was very front heavy. But here as Johnny Depp, or Ichabod, walks into the party, the doors are opening on either side of you. And it's not a very discreet sound of the doors because there's so much sound in your room right now. But you can hear those doors creaking open on either side of you, just as if you were walking into the room. So I thought that was a nice effect. At 16 minutes and 40 seconds, we have a gunshot. Christopher Walken's character, who becomes the Headless Horseman, spoilers. He's on the rampage here, and in this scene, just before we hear a nice bassy gunshot, there's also a nice bass rumble that you can feel in your seat. So as the scene plays out, Christopher Walken goes into the crowd. Nice, sounds of each like slice of the sword on each head. Those were very discreet, very nice. But there's a nice bass rumble, like I said, at plus 5 dB. You could really feel it in your seat. Then you get the decent bassy gunshot. At 20 minutes and 5 seconds, oh dear. There's some deer that are approaching as the lookout is looking for the Headless Horseman to approach the town. And all the deer approach and they come at you and you hear them at the front of your room. But then as they come through the fog, they turn and they veer off to the left. and you can hear them take off to the left. It's a nice little pan here. And then you hear the Headless Horseman approach, and he comes at you. Nice bassy sound as each hoof hits the ground. And that goes right down the left side of your room. Nice bass on the left side. And this scene continues for a little bit as he chases down his next victim slash head. But that was a pretty cool scene. Very nice bass and a decent pan. At 21 minutes and 35 seconds, we have the covered bridge. This has a nice pan here as Johnny Depp and whoever it was he was with, I can't remember the character, but they're getting on their horse. And I think Johnny Depp's horse name is Gunpowder too, I think, because it was a pretty funny name. But anyways, as they ride off to the right and they go over the covered bridge, which is on the right-hand side of your screen. And as they ride off, you can hear them, you know, gallop into the covered bridge, and the pan goes to the right side of the room. So that's pretty cool. You know, I'm a big fan of nice pans. At 24 minutes and 52 seconds, the American flag. So here's where we get into noticing some of the brilliance in the red. So there's a small waving flag that's right, you know, off center, you know, right side off centered, and it's small and the stripes are really small, but they're still very brilliant. And that's what I really liked about this. Like earlier in the movie, there was a cardinal, I think, that Johnny Depp let loose out the window, and you could see how bright the cardinal was there. But that cardinal took up a lot of your screen. It was supposed to be pronounced. But now when you get into this scene here, where it's a pretty monochromatic scene, the saturation is way down, but you could still see the brilliance in each stripe of that flag. I thought that was a pretty cool thing to stand out. And that's why it jumped out at me. At 30 minutes, even, we have the covered bridge scene. This is a pretty cool scene. So Johnny Depp approaches on the right hand side. Nice pan as he approaches. He comes onto the screen, I should say. And you can hear him approach on the right. Then he goes inside, and there's a slight echo to the hooves as the horse gets into the, now the camera is inside the covered bridge, and you can hear the echo as the horse comes into the bridge. Now Johnny Depp is inside the covered bridge, and as he stops, you can hear that eerie voice around your room saying, "Ichabod, Ichabod." It's like I want to say it's all around your room. It is mostly in the front, but there is some little bit of sound around you, giving you that sense that it is around you. This is one of those scenes where if they could upgrade this and give it a DTS:X or an Atmos effect, even a nice 5.1 upgrade, you know, let Christopher Nolan have a try at it. If they gave that, you could really fill the room with that Ichabod going, and nice pans around the room would have been cool, but it is still nice. It is still a pretty cool scene as it is. But then the Headless Horseman shows up, and the room comes alive with the score and strong bass. Even when the horse starts down, comes at you to go through the covered bridge, he takes off down the left of your side of your room. And then the chase ensues. And like I said, this isn't the Headless Horseman. We know this is the guy's playing the prank on him. But there's some nice bass from each of the hoof impacts and the throwing of the pumpkin. It's a pretty cool scene. If you let it play out, it's a pretty cool scene. But it would have been nice with some rear channel pans and stuff like that. So hopefully we can look forward to that in the future. At 32 minutes and 41 seconds, thunder. Johnny Depp is woken up by a nice thunderous sound. Really felt that in my seat. It was really cool. That's at 32 minutes and 41 seconds. You should be able to feel that one at plus 5 dB. At 38 minutes and 45 seconds, owls. Storms are brewing. The Headless Horseman is approaching. And Johnny Depp's, they're in a field. He's in the field with that. I can't remember the character. It was a heavy guy. Real cool storm sounds to start. And you can even hear an owl hooing all. And this one is all around your room. It's kind of a nice effect of the owl. It's very brief, the owl, that is. Then as the horseman approaches, the bass ramps way up. You could feel each horse step in your seat. when the Headless Horseman chops off his victim's head, my chair was shaking. It was very distinct. And the slicing sound was very crisp as well. Nice mix here of the highs and lows, like I talked about earlier. How it's like if you go that plus 5 dB, you're going to get that visceral feeling. You're going to feel it in your seat, as well as that nice high-pitched slicing noise, which probably wouldn't sound like that if you really went through somebody's head, because it sounds like metal on metal, but it's a nice effect in the movie. Just a fun scene, you know, and again, imagine how nice this would be with a restoration. But moving on, 43 minutes, 53 seconds into the cave. So Johnny Depp and his young protege enter the witch's cave, and there's another nice pan of the cave door creeping open, and you can hear it creep open on the right side. Really nice, creaky, nice sound. And then the scene plays out, and, you know, the witch, you know, they interact with the witch, and the witch tells the young protege to wait outside. So he goes outside, and the witch closes the door, and you have a really nice pan here of the door slamming close. You hear it start to close, and then the heavy slam of the heavy door closing on the left side of your room. Really, really nice pans there, how they open the scene on the right and finish it on the left. At 48 minutes and 42 seconds, the tree. So Johnny Depp and Christina Ricci approach the tree, and the young protege as well. Sorry, I don't remember his name. But what I thought was cool about this scene was how they framed the scene. And so you have the tree on the left-hand side of the screen, and you have the characters approaching on the right-hand side of the screen. But listen to the score. The score is very heavy, bass-wise and score-wise. It's very weighted to the left side of the screen, telling you that this tree, this is the ominous tree, because the score is very ominous. And the sound is kind of, it's pulling your head in that direction. It's making you want to look there, even though the characters are coming up on the right-hand side of the screen. And then as the scene plays out and the tree comes center, so does the score. It's pretty cool. It's very subtle, but it's pretty cool how they did that. It's like, I actually watched this scene quite a few times because I really enjoyed how it's like the score is very heavy on the left and then it just panned over to the center. It's pretty cool. Then as that scene plays out at 51:53, from out of the tree comes the Headless Horseman, and the bass in your room come alive. Pretty nice climax to the scene here. Also note how brilliant the red looked when Johnny Depp was chopping away at the tree and that blood coming out at him. Another, you know, how everything is turned way down as far as saturation, but that red just really jumping off the screen. At 55 minutes and 26 seconds, floorboards. Pretty sad scene here. This scene starts out with the Headless Horseman attacking the family. He takes out the husband first. You get some nice bass there with the fire, you know, whooshing. But then he goes after the wife. And, you know, it's a pretty good scene. But probably some of the strongest bass in the entire movie is when the Headless Horseman starts chopping through the floorboards with his axe to get to the little boy after killing his parents. The room was full of sound. From obviously the score is filling the room, but each impact of that axe into the floor, the bass was felt so strong in your seat. And I keep saying in your seat because I should touch on that for a second. This movie, all the sound was felt up from in your seat, like in your bottom. You could feel it in your butt. But there are movies, and this movie didn't have any in it, but there is bass that you could feel in your chest. And I kind of take it for granted when I'm doing these movies that I'll tell you, like, oh, I could really feel that one in my chest. I really liked it. Or I felt that one in my seat. I'm actually distinguishing that there is a difference, and there's some bass that it punches you right in the chest. You can feel it. But then there's those nice rumbles that come up from the floor that really, you know, you can feel it in the armrest. You can feel it in your seat. So this movie had a lot, not a lot, but the ones it had came up through the seat. There were no real punches in the chest. And we'll actually touch on that in a second when we get to a scene of something I wish they had done. At 1 hour, 1 minute, and 11 seconds, we have close-ups. Oh, this scene is kind of rough. I wasn't crazy about this. I think it has so much potential, though. So this is a scene where they're very close up on Johnny Depp and Christina Ricci, and parts of the scenes when they're in on Johnny Depp, there is so much detail. Even in this picture, you could see there's such great detail in Johnny Depp's face. Like, you could see pock marks, you could see freckles. It's like you can make out that he had chicken pox almost, and where each one was. But then, like, just in that same frame, even, there's other parts of his face that are so grained out. It's just awful. And then they go over to Christina Ricci, and her whole face is grained out. It just doesn't look right. And then I was looking into Christina Ricci's eyes, and your eyes are supposed to be like, you blink to add fluid to create a slippery effect. Your eyes are supposed to be floating and on fluid. Her eyes looked like they were made out of sand because of the way the picture looked. It just looked awful. There was no wetness to the eyes. It was just awful. Everything was so undefined, and it would look so much nicer with a restoration. But the grain was so strong in some parts, and then other parts, like I said, like, Johnny Depp would have a, you know, nice, discreet, clear cheek. And then the other side of his face would look like, you know, the Sahara Desert. It wasn't good and very, very inconsistent. And then you go to this next scene at 1 hour, 4 minutes and 15 seconds. I labeled it ink. And now we have a close up of Johnny Depp writing in his book. He's writing down his notes, and the ink coming out of his pen has depth to it. It's coming off the page. The ink is, you know, not dry yet. So it's just sitting on top of the paper. And I think the grain in the film is actually playing to the texture of the paper. Like, this close up was really nice because it almost felt like you could touch that paper and feel the texture of it. But in contrast to how wet that ink looked, the black, how deep it was, and the shine on it. You had such a nice contrast between the highlights in the ink and then the depth in the blacks of that ink. Just a nice looking scene, nicely shot. And you compare that to like 3 minutes earlier, and their faces were like, it was not the texture that you wanted. I kind of wonder how they pulled this off, this nice, nice ink and the nice page, how they pulled this off in this movie, because it looks so nice. It really jumped out at me. And then we get to, this is the scene I was talking about where I wish they could have had more, and hopefully in the future we'll get more. At 1 hour, 17 minutes and 46 seconds, this is where the church, this is where everybody in the town hides inside the church, and we find out the Headless Horseman can't come inside the gates of the fence, and he's circling the church, and they all are gathering, and the men are breaking windows and firing their guns. But the gunshots, especially those, you know, black powder guns, if you've ever been around those being fired, they are loud and you can feel them. And these felt like, I think I've had more impact shooting a rubber band off of my fingers. There was like nothing there. The scene was kind of lackluster right up until the Headless Horseman shoots somebody through the chest with a fence post. I can't remember who it was. It's the husband that gets killed. But, you know, a nice base impact there. That would have been nice to have, that nice punch in your chest. There wasn't, but he got the punch in his chest. So if they could do that when they do the restorations, I know they're listening. That would be nice if you could get that nice base punch. But even in this scene here, it was a nice base to that when the character took the fence post through the chest. Then as he got pulled out and dragged across I think it was a graveyard, there was some nice bass there with the horse galloping and everything like that. But I thought this scene overall was very lackluster with how much gunfire there was and how much they could have ramped up that bass there. It was like they muzzled the guns. It wasn't cool. At 1 hour, 30 minutes and 6 seconds, we do get some nice bass here in the windmill. So I put this at 1 hour, 30 minutes and 6. Like I said, the scene starts a little earlier than that, and there is some nice bass as they make their way through the windmill. But right here, this timestamp gets you just before the fire gets going. that's where the bass kind of ramps up. And then, of course, there's some a nice rumble through your room when the windmill explodes. So that one was pretty cool. And then at 1 hour, 32 minutes and 9 seconds, the final chase, which is the final scene I'll talk about. And there were some real cool pans here as the chase goes on. Real nice bass. The score actually bounces back and forth across the room. And if you go by this actual timestamp, pay attention. There's like a ticking sound on the left-hand side. That was pretty cool. There's other discrete sounds going on around the room too, but see if you can pick out that ticking that I'm talking about, basically just setting the tension, you know, that overall, that repetitive ticking that you can hear, but it's only on the left side. And that's 1 hour, 32 minutes and 9 seconds. There's a lot going on through this entire scene sound wise, the score filling the room, but there's a lot of discrete sounds bouncing around your room. Like I said, the score bounces back and forth, left and right, like a seesaw. That's pretty cool. Some really great pans, thunder overhead, very discreet localized sounds. Awesome use of the score. Just a nice way to end this movie on a high note. If you want, if you own the movie, just jump to the scene. You'll think it's a pretty good movie as far as sound goes. Even the picture, not so bad, because there's so much going on. You know, Johnny Depp's being dragged. And I think as the scene ends, there's a nice pan there as he gets dragged. You can hear him come in on the left, and then he gets dragged out, and he kind of like slides out around the corner to the right. So that was pretty cool. But just a nice way to end the movie. All in all, I really enjoyed it because I like being in my theater. I love seeing movies like this from the past and comparing them in my own head to what we have today. And that's, this movie suffers from that, of obviously. It could be so much better, and hopefully we'll get that. But until then, it's like, I still think it's an entertaining movie and it was worth the watch. I wouldn't say run out and grab it, because I don't think it's worth picking up now, especially do not, you know, if you already own the other version, the 2006, don't run out and grab the anniversary edition like I did, because it's the same thing. Although I got a nice little booklet. But if this comes out on 4K, it's a very good bet I'll be doing this one again, because I think there's a ton of potential here. So how's that for the bright side, huh? All right, that's it for this week. Thank you. I'll be back next week with Halloween from 2018 in 4K. So I'll get to see some nice 4K after this week's Sleepy Hollow from 1999, which looks like it was filmed in 1959. All right. Until then, you can find me on Twitter at BrightsideHT. You can email me at BrightsideHomeTheater@gmail.com. Hey, check out everybody at the Nerdy Legion. Just go in to nerdylegion.com. Check them out. Hit subscribe. That would help out all of those podcasts. Thank you for following me. But they can use the help as well. And go on iTunes. Rate, review, and subscribe. Or actually do that on whatever platform you're listening on. That would be great. I really appreciate it. Thank you to all the listeners that contributed this week. Thank you to the Home Theater submission this week. Keep those Home Theater submissions coming. We're running low. I'm running out. I need more. I don't care. Even if it's just a single shot, like this week's, for instance, even if it's just a single shot and this is, you know, and you tell us your plans on what you want to build, we'll get those up there, because our theaters are ever evolving. There's nothing wrong with just, let's see a starting point like we did this week. Or you can have an elaborate dedicated room like some of the theaters we have. Thank you to everybody. Have a great week. I'll see you next Friday with Halloween from 2018. Go push play.
Hey Fred.
This has been a Hey Fred production with theme music by Jeff Bernhardt and Throne Vault Productions.